So we're going to leave those noisy direct actionists now. For the next lot, though, you're going to have to be a little bit quiet, because this is going to be the data for conservation. And a lot of them have sick, injured or orphaned wildlife with them. It's also a bit smelly, so watch your step. So using the internet for conservation, it's being used to save habitat through education and research, to apply political and social pressure, and also for fundraising and access to grants, and also information about living with and how to live with wildlife. So the best way to maintain biodiversity is to maintain existing habitat. Now, this black cockatoo rescue site is a classic example of how the internet is being used to do this. This site is dedicated to a particular issue, which is that some developers are planning to bulldoze a large parcel of land, which is currently the home to some of the last wild stands of cockatoo habitat. So a local action group has enlisted the help of the global community to help to stop that happening. And it's a great example of how the worldwide resource can still be vital in a local action. So this site keeps its followers up to date on news. It's being used to explain the situation and to provide research data. It's vital to both educate the general public and those in authority about this particular issue. This information is available 24/7 and has source material that this particular local action group has control over, which is really important when you're talking about this sort of direct action with it. So sites like this can quickly become a central point of focus for any action. So you can say to people when you're trying to do conservation work, see our website, get the story, that's where you contact us. For fundraising, fundraising is central to conservation efforts, and the internet has allowed environmentalists to become very creative with finding value-adding ways for fundraising. So this is a great example of that, the Adopt an Animal, a Wild Animal project. Now, adopting wild animals has become a popular way of supporting charities that care for endangered and threatened species. By adopting a wild animal, you can help to finance conservation research, to upkeep the animals and the anti-poaching patrols, habitat protection and restoration, wild animal rescue, rehabilitation and reintroduction, education and political lobbying for species under threat. So sites like this allow you to feel like you're getting quite involved in the conservation process, and it gives you more satisfaction and involvement than perhaps just putting money into a tin. You can often view photos of the wildlife or the flora conservation. You can read stories about the work being carried out, and you can get to know who's running the project. Now, websites like this, National Grants, so research is critical to conservation, but of course it always takes money. So access to information about national grants and research grants is really essential. But how do you find them? So places like this, the NERF, they detail how to apply for environmental research grants. You can also Google terms like green grants and you'll find out more. There's also information on research funding for environmental projects at the Commonwealth Environmental Research Facility, or CERF, and that link's on the website. And this performs a really vital function because it makes it so much easier then for organisations that are on the grassroots trying to do research and conservation efforts to get access to this sort of funding. The internet's also been used to create habitat. So the next best thing to natural habitat in the wild is artificially created habitat. So there are websites dedicated to doing this, such as this great site at La Trobe University, which has a native nursery. It has details on how to create a frog bog, and also it's home to their nesting box project. And sites like this, they make it easy for the average citizen to become a conservationist. Now, conservation at home projects, are also being run by Zoos Victoria, and you'll find that these zoo information websites have lots and lots of information about creating habitat, about conserving habitat, and about watching wildlife. These sites have a wealth of information about the enormous variety of creatures that are under their care. They give public access to their expertise, and they also help promote online actions like the current palm oil campaign that I was talking about before that Greenpeace was involved in. Conservation at home is such an important initiative. Sites like FungiNet, VegNet, those sorts of sites also allow you to study your own environment and gain a new appreciation for what's around you. Because once you understand that you're a part of a larger picture, you're far more likely to value it, think of it as being important, and want to preserve it. And last but not least, in the conservation space are the Living with Wildlife websites. These provide grassroots information on what to do when a possum makes a nest in your roof, how to remove a bat from your lounge room, and who to ring if you get a snake in your backyard. Included in this category are also sites put together by wildlife shelters such as the Hepburn Wildlife Shelter, Badgar and Wildlife Victoria. These sites are usually run by time-poor but dedicated environmentalists who have information on how to save a bird brought in by the cat or for a roo that's been hit by a car. They list emergency numbers of people that will come out and pick up injured wildlife as well as first aid techniques. They're a wealth of data about the creatures that they care for and allow us, the general public, to get an insight into an area that's usually reserved for only a few.